In this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised his servant, Yemi Adeleju, to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where he has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of a word of life. Join Yemi Adeleju for the world of his grace.
Verse 1 through to verse 22. We are all going to read together, so that's why you are standing for us to read the word of God together, and then you take your seat. Whatever translation you carry, just pay attention to the punctuation marks. That's all. Just pay attention to those marks and read excellently. How many of you heard what that wonderful angel was saying when she was talking to the fathers? How many of you did not hear? You did not hear? Okay, you all heard. I wanted to help since you all heard. So some people did not hear and they are just for me. Praise God. Has your children corrected you before? A lot. All right. Are you there? Where are you? 2 Samuel chapter 15, from verse 1 to go. After these, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man, and he said to him, "Why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." So Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be healed. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" Then Amnon lay down and pretended to be healed. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight, that I may eat from her hand." "Now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. Then she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but refused to eat. Then Amnon said, "Have everyone go out from me." And they all went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." But she answered him, "No, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. And I, where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. However, he will not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her." Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love which we had for her. And Amnon said to her, "Arise, be gone." So she said to him, "No, indeed. This evil of sending me away is worse than the order that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. Then he called his servant, who attended to him, and said, "Here, put this woman out away from me," and bolt the door behind her. Now she had on her robes of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel. And his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore a robe of many colors that was on her and laid her hands on her head and went away crying bitterly. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? He is your brother. Do not take this thing to her." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Heavenly Father, speak to us yourself and cause us to learn, cause us to see, cause us to understand. Let your name be glorified in Jesus' precious name. You may please be seated. At the estray of a failed father, may you not fail in life in the precious name of Jesus. Can I hear a louder amen? Amen. We celebrate Father's Day today, and we are thanking God for the lives of fathers. It's a very important role. The role of a father is a very significant one, and that's the role that God has called us into. But here in our text this morning, we are looking at a father, David. King David is an epitome of battles and victories. David fought many battles. In fact, David fought 66 battles. He did not lose any one of them. But there were two battles that David lost. He lost the battle of Bathsheba. Don't forget, he won many battles. He fought 66 battles. He won all of them. David was a champion. David was a fighter. A fighter from his youth. A fighter from childhood. He was just 17 when he defeated Goliath of Gath. So a teenager that was victorious. That is King David. So he was a man of battles. His son Solomon said in 1 Kings chapter 5 and in verse number 3, "Thou knowest," you know, how David, my father, could not build a house for God because of the many battles, many wars that surrounded him until God brought them under the soles of his feet. He fought wars. He won all. For the Amorites, he won. For the Philistines, he won. Fought giants, he won. Fought many battles, he won. But he couldn't win the sexual battle. Please note, all men, you must have this understanding that sexual sin is stronger than the devil. What did I just say? Let me say it louder. All fathers, all men, say it louder. Sexual sin is stronger than the devil. How do I mean? The Bible says in James chapter 4 verse 7. Let's look at it. James chapter 4 verse number 7. "Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Did you hear that? "Ajekun iya ni o je. Ajekun iya ni o je. Eni ti o to ni na to nde na de ni. Ajekun iya ni o je." You cannot beat me. You are waylaying me, Abi Daddy. Oh my Jaya. I can beat you, but you have gone there to lay in wait for me, to fight me. But I can beat you, so I will keep beating you. It is only a man who is stronger than you that can resist you. And then you flee from him. So the Bible says if you resist the devil, because greater is he that is in you than the devil that is coming. So you resist him, he will flee. It is the weaker person that flees. Abi? So Satan will flee, he will run. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says, flee fornication. Satan will flee from you, but you flee from sexual sin. Flee. So that's why I said sexual sin is stronger than the devil. Do you now agree with me?
Yes, sir.
You are not talking. Because the devil will flee from you if you resist him. But God did not say you should resist sexual sin. He said you should be the one to run. You run. You run. Don't forget, every man of destiny is a man on the run. He's running with something. He's running to something. He's running from something. Run. So David lost this battle to Bathsheba. The second battle David lost was the battle of parenting. He lost the battle of parenting. Parenting is battle. You fight for the destiny of your children. When Moses was born, it was a time that the king Pharaoh had ordered that every male child born to the Jews be killed. Every male child and every woman who had a male child surrendered their children to be killed. But Jochebed, the father, the mother of Moses, they hid him for 3 months. They fought for the destiny of that boy. Something told that woman, something told that man, there is a grace upon this boy. There is a grace on this boy. There is a great destiny over this boy. Keep him. So they protected him. Please protect your children. Keep your children. Fight for them. So David lost the battle of Bathsheba, the battle of parenting. David did not reprimand or do anything to Amnon, who raped Tamar. What did David do? Silenyimi. Are you with me? Three of his children now, I want to talk about three of his children. Amnon. It was King David that Amnon told, tell my sister to come and cook for me. Abi? I would have expected the king to have called Tamar. Ah, how is he? He didn't call her. He didn't find her. He knew what happened eventually. He didn't do anything to Amnon who raped the sister. He didn't do anything. There are times that our children will do things and we will keep quiet. Because it's your child. You are failing. Whether you are a father or you are a mother, you are failing. He didn't do anything. What about Tamar? Tamar needed to be succored. Her pain needed to be assuaged. David didn't do anything to assuage her grief. She was grieving. Her father was the one that sent her, go unto your brother. She was grieving. Now, who was supposed to succor? Was it not the father? Why was it the brother? It was his brother's house. That was where she lived a desolate life. Where was David? Who should have taken care of this girl? Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Some good children have been raped. What did we do to them? Victims of rape. How have we handled them? You have called them names, parents. Shewo! A girl was raped and got pregnant, and the whole family turned against her. They sent her to live with the grandmother. Now she had a baby with the grandmother. And the aunts will come and give grandmother allowance. Owo je la fun yin o to ba wi ke fi to mo ale kan. And this girl, we have given you your feeding allowance. If you like, use it to train one bastard. And they were saying, and the girl was hearing. We have swaged their pain. David failed. Touching Tamar. What about Absalom? Absalom, whose immediate younger sister was raped. He was in anger. David did not pacify his anger. He didn't do anything. He didn't see anything. He just had, and he was angry. Just like Eli. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible says, you see, God spoke to Samuel. He said, I'm going to punish Eli for the sins of his children that he knew and he didn't do anything about. So do something. When your children, any of your children has done something wrong, do something about it. Madowobo. That's not child training. That's not child raising. You're not raising a proper child if you do that. You are failing in your responsibilities. So as a father, let me leave you with four things that you must not do as a father. This Father's Day, I really want us to go to the other part of my preaching. Please pay attention to me. The number one thing you must not do as a father, please don't crush the spirit of your children. Don't crush their spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. What did I say? Please speak to me. Thank you. Don't crush them. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That's what the King James Version put it. But look at what the Message translation says. Parents, don't come down too hard on your children, or you will crush their spirits. Please don't crush the spirit of your children. I observed one major weakness, one of my many weaknesses. I have lots of weaknesses. I pay attention to the gates in my house. I am not the gate man. My children are there. There are people who live in my house. But it's me that will know someone is at the gate. I pay attention. If I am eating and the visitor comes, that may be the end of the food. I don't eat, I go and attend to that visitor. For those who have worked with me, if I am very hungry and I'm in the office, I want to eat, and then you have gone to buy food or prepare food or bring food, any which one, and you are setting the table, and somebody now comes around that I didn't even give appointment to, and they tell me somebody wants to see you, I'll say, take the food. Let the person. It's not good for me. Why am I so concerned? Why? He was my upbringing. Anything I was doing, my father had the way of calling me. Once he raised his voice and shouted, Julius! I would start shaking. Because visiting, every encounter with my father was either with a slap or a knock. My spirit was crushed. I lost confidence in myself. Each time my father called, I'm shaking. Then I would, sir! And I'll put my hand. And then the next, holy, when? And he starts rippling curses and abuses at me. So, thank God that I got born again very early.
It was salvation that repaired my broken spirit. That spirit would have been crushed forever. There are some parents, with their high-handedness, they have crushed the spirit of their children. Allow them. Allow them. Let them explore. Let them explore. And one of the ways we crush their spirit also is by doing everything for them. It's either way. You do everything for them. Any dangerous thing that I know could hurt my children when they are growing up, I remove it. But anything that won't do damage to them, but just teach them a lesson, I allow it. Like iron that is not too hot. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have checked it and I know that it is not too hot. This one cannot endure. So the boy is coming. You know, you carry iron. No, TFE iron, you are not there. You just plug it a little. Just plug it 1 minute, bring it out. So let him go there. It's just... So once my son crawling touch that iron, he touches iron, whoo! You don't need any evangelism. If you now carry iron that has not been plugged for 1 year, and the boy sees iron, he will run this way. It's a lesson of life. But if you keep taking it from him, the boy keeps wondering, can you return be for me now? I take him, you know. Curiosity. So don't crush the spirit of your children. Help them. Help them. What did I say? Help them. I'll tell my wife, every time she wept, she would scream and scream on my boy, my son. Our son was, the boy will not read. The boy doesn't like reading. If you wanted him to sleep, just give him a book. In 5 minutes, I guarantee he walks more than billion five. Walked. But if he held a book, he must be drawing. So I told my wife, leave him, let him draw. Let him draw. I won't force any of my children to study law. I'd not force you to be my wife. Said, no, I let him be an architect. And I said, no, leave him. Because you're an architect does not mean your children should. Let them be. Look at their area of strength and guide them in that direction. And that was what I did for my son. We guided him in that direction. And he does his work, graphics, design. He does it with ease. He does it with joy. He does it with, you know, he just does. And then if you, it, sometimes I'm with him, and then you hear the people that are talking with him over the phone to help them design something. He designed labels. I mean, what do you call this? No. Record for musicians. Their album, he designed labels for them. I don't want to mention the names of those he had designed for. In this country and out of this country. Strengthen, encourage their spirit. Don't kill their spirit. Don't crush their spirit. My wife called me one day and said, please, Ebomo, talk to your son. That this man, Toman call, I was wondering who is video call. He was doing this, he was designing something. Say, man, Toman call, talon call, he saying, and your talon call is saying, what am I? Say, man, Toman call, he's saying, he's just calling that video call. That, so my wife just passed and saw, talon call, he's saying. So the guy will ask, it's my mom. Okay. And they continue, just design. The gift of a man will make room for. Don't kill your son's gift. Media. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't crush their spirit. Do not leave your children without support. Give them root to stand firm. Give them wings to soar high. Support their dreams and their aspirations. Support their dreams. Support their aspirations. I don't know why I'm talking about musicians today. One of the most popular musicians in Nigeria today is who? Eh? Is who? Neo Bo. Davido. Of course, you know his story. His father sent him to study abroad and he refused. He said, no, I want to sing. And after spending so much money, he came back to Nigeria without a degree. He dropped out of school. What will you do? So the father, who had endowed many chairs in Babcock University, went to the university and asked them to start the Department of Faculty of Music. He pumped money to it, built the Faculty of Music, equipped the faculty because of his son. And the school accepted, and the boy went to that school now to study his dream, to pursue his dream. He studied music and graduated. He would have been a dropout. I want to remember they have reported we have a boo.
What's that?
He's a baboon. He lives in the zoo.
What's funny there? Amen.
How can the man call himself a baboon? He says he lives in the zoo and he beats his zoo like this. Oh, my people.
Because there's somebody he cannot abuse.
The father supported his dream. He did against his wish. He dropped out of school. Yet, the father did not drop him and say, you are not. He did not disown him. Or discern him. I discern you. Are you following me? And I plead with you, don't impose anything on you. I've seen lots and lots of people who have been compelled by their parents to study a particular course, or course rather than university. After graduating, they brought the certificate and gave it to their parents. That they say, of course, they have been changed. Yeah. And they went out to now do something else. Don't frustrate them. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So don't crush the spirit. And if your spirit has been crushed, please pick it up. That's one of the beauties of coming to Christ. One of the beauties of coming to Christ. He helped me to recall myself, to bring myself out. Look, I was almost going to be, to have complex, inferiority complex. I was almost not going to be able to talk because you cannot talk. My father, you talk? You talk? Your mother will hear them. Not only you. You know how my father beat us? He will run after you. Maybe it's just one room. You go to see. He won't even move. You just sleep. Then you just yell. Did they? So before he did that, he had bolted the door. Did they bosh you on the Kopanker, Koboko, Eleanor Mary? One near Aya. So, Masu, if you offended my dad, Masu. So, if you sleep, you open eye. If you turn on the bed, you are going 40 degrees.
Number two, don't leave your children without discipline, without correction, without rebuke. That is the second thing you must never do. You see, we came from one extreme of iron-handedness. We moved to another extreme of lack of discipline. There are two extremes. Unfortunately, we have fathers today who cannot correct their children, who cannot discipline them, who cannot rebuke them. Why? Why is it difficult for you to rebuke your children? You are a father. You have the responsibility to correct, to discipline, and to rebuke. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13 and 14. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. Let's start from chapter 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrected, even as a father, the son in whom he delighted. So if the Lord corrects you, if you are corrected, it is because you are loved. It is because you are loved. If you have anyone that corrects you or rebukes you, it is because that person loves you. The day the person stops to correct or to rebuke you, you have been left to yourself. A child left to himself will ruin himself. If you are left to yourself, you ruin yourself. Proverbs chapter 23, right? Verse 13 and 14, or verses 13 and 14. We told not correction from the child. If thou beat him with the rod, he will not die. Verse 14. Thou shalt beat him with the rod. You will deliver his soul from hell. The rod. I told you, the Bible says foolishness abounds or is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. When my first son was about 8 years old, I wanted to beat him. So I asked him to read that book of Proverbs 16:32. Foolishness is banded out of a child. The rod of correction drives it. So I gave him the Bible. I said, read. He now read it. I said, what does it mean? He said, there is foolishness in the heart of a child. There is foolishness in my heart, child heart. So if you now beat me, foolishness will now go away. I said, you are very correct. You know Bible. That's okay. So I brought, So I gave him just 6 strokes. But please let me tell you, don't beat in anger. It becomes an abuse. I recommend beat your children. What did I say? Let me tell your neighbor, beat your children. That's the Bible. But don't tell your neighbor, don't beat in anger. Don't beat in anger. And you must not, don't allow anybody to crush the spirit of your son. My last born, you can't crush me because that's the way we relate. We play, so I won't handle you the way my father handled me. We play, and then we beat them. When it is time to be beaten, I will beat them. When it's time to play, we play. So we play, we beat, we play, I beat. We play, I beat, we play, I beat. So we are friends until they got to an age now that I can't bring Cain and be beating a 23, 24-year-old boy now. Will I not look stupid? I'll be like one Elijah in front of our house. He was beating his first son. First son said, Elijah, man, man, he said, Elijah said, me, be on one now. Ask me how old was his first son. 60. 60. Elijah was beating Elijah with Cain. So the young Elijah said, firstborn, Elijah man number is somebody. Only one no, me more pure, one no. 60-year-old man, you are beating 60-year-old man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't beat in anger. Women, our mothers, because don't say it's Father's Day. Eyin yawa. Anything bad gbopo fi orogun na omo. Atijosa, what you should say this thing? If you beat, that means you're angry. If you beat in anger, you can injure the boy. You can injure the girl.
Don't say that to Saul. That was how my mother trained me. No! Use cane. I have told you to beat your children, but not with tona. What is orogbolo yibo? Eh? Pasula. Pasula. No. Turning stick, Eshema. Pasula, turning stick, tona, orogun. Don't carry broomstick. And you start to use cane. Cane. Pankere. Don't die, Jesus. Don't beat in anger. You are not punishing, you are disciplining. Discipline, not punishment. Ask them to kneel down, stoop down, not forever. Don't ask your boy to kneel down, you forget him there. Please don't beat in anger. I've seen people who have been jeered their children while beating them in anger. Don't get angry. Once you know you are angry, you are boiling. Calm down. For your own health. While you are angry, you know you are now getting, you are not getting any younger. You are beating, you are the one panting. You are chasing. Stop chasing. You beat him, he's running. You are not chasing. Come back here. You are chasing it. Stop. When my mother is beating you, she's the one beating you. She's the one crying. She's the one biting. She's biting you. She's crying. Unlike any. Praise the Lord. So please, don't withhold discipline from your children. Mababo correcting. A failed father will not rebuke. A failed father will not correct. Proverbs 29, verse 15. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. So I said, a child left to himself will ruin himself. Don't leave your child to himself. Don't let him ruin. So don't leave your children without correction, discipline, or rebuke. Number three, do not leave your children without training. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Look at what God said about Abraham. Genesis 18, 19. God said, for I know him. May God know you. Amen. I know him that he will train or command his children and his household after him. God said, I know him. He will train his children. He will correct his children. Please train your children. And let me tell you, one of the ways by which you train your children is by your good lifestyle. Children learn by observation and imitation. That's why they do drama. They act daddy. I am mommy. And they do exactly the things mommy does. They do exactly the things daddy does. They speak like daddy. They yell like daddy because they are daddy. You are their mentor, their role model. Whatever they see in you, they inculcate it to them and they act it out. I have told you the story of a man. His wife, when frying the bacon, we always cut it at both ends. Cut it here to fry. So he has a wife. Why are you always cutting bacon? Bacon here and there. Some of you call it sausage or so hot dog. Why are you cutting it here? He said, that's the way my mother did it. So she observed her mother. So the curious husband went to the mother-in-law. I said, mother-in-law, my wife cuts bacon from both ends to fry. And I asked her, and she said, that's how you did it. Why did you cut your bacon at both ends? She also said, that's how my mother did it. The curious husband went to the grandmother-in-law. I said, grandmother-in-law, my wife cuts bacon on both ends. And I asked her why she did it. She said, that's how her mother did it. I asked my mother-in-law, why did you cut bacon in both ends? She said, that's how you did it. Grandmother-in-law, why did you cut bacon? And the grandmother-in-law, they said, don't mind the idiots. My fry pan was too small, so I cut bacon on both ends. So they just observed their mother and they perpetuated error. They kept cutting, they didn't ask why. They kept repeating it. Children will not ask you why you did what you do. They just repeat it. If they see you beat their mother, they think the normal thing is to beat. And they start beating their wives also. If they see you show love and affection to their mother, they see that and they imbibe it, they also show love and affection to their wife. That's what they see. That's what you have modeled unto them. That's how to train your children. Train them to love. Don't just train them by your words of mouth. Children, they catch more than they are taught. They catch more than they are taught. You keep teaching them, right? They catch the things you do. That's the one they catch. Train them. So God said, I know Abraham, he will train his children. He will command them in my ways. So I'm going to put secrets in his hands. And in Genesis chapter 14, verse 8 to verse 16, we won't have time to read it. Genesis chapter 14, verse 8 to 16. Five kings, the king of Sodom, king of Gomorrah, and some other kings, they fought against three other kings. Or four, they fought against four kings in that passage. But the four kings defeated these five other kings in battle. So Lot was taken captive. Lot, Abraham's nephew. The Bible says when Abraham heard that Lot, his brother, was taken captive, he harmed the 318 men, servants, who were born in his house, whom he had trained. Abraham trained them, the children of his slaves. You know, if you had the slave in those days, the slave and whatever wife and children the slave had, they are your own. So Abraham trained all of them. Some of us, we have maids. We don't train them. You have house help. You don't train her. Abraham trained his own children and the children of slaves. He trained everybody. You know, it was this trained servant, verse 14, that Abraham used to fight against four kings, and they defeated them. Five kings couldn't stand before them. 318 trained men. That's the power of training. That's the power of training. Support your children. Train them. Train them with education. Train them in character. Train them in house chores. Train them to work with their hands. Don't allow servant to do everything for them at this age. Tender age. Let them do things with their hands. I won't mention the name of school. There were some schools in this city. Children of elites attend the school, and the children there don't know how to wash their underwear. Underwears they will use and then they will throw away. So the parents started complaining. I won't go underwear one more. So the school took them to the across the fence to see where your children have turned to dumping ground of their. They won't wash. They have not been trained to wash. Common singlet, common underwear. Common underwear. Some are lazy. My son, when he will wear underwear, he will wear it. If I shirt, he will wear it. One is two, he will wear it. He will be wearing it every day. Obey, don't like Ashwa, he told me. Then, once now that he will just throw it away. You will see somewhere, I used to wear it before, I'm not wearing it. I say, sure, well, all right. You who bought it? When you start buying clothes with your money, then you can be told, hey, go and take it and wash. You say, I'm not using it again. Oh, my friend, you're not wearing it again. You know who you're running? Or you say, or Lenny. Can't carry clothes and wash. Praise the Lord. Train them. Character. Obeni, omo wa awu. Olohun olori oko. Ejire mo gbe na si ade o. Etete ye gbona si ami o. What's that? What is Injiwere? Is he my... Is he, you cannot grow up in Inalende like me and not to all those things. Character! Oh, no. Train them in character. Train them to respect, to show respect to elders. Train them. Some of us grew up in polygamous homes and we have allowed that to affect the way we live. No. No. Love. Love is genuine. Love is pure. In polygamous home, you see everybody as enemies. The children of the other wife, they are your enemies. And then you are protective. You are watching. You are watching. You can't eat here. You eat here. You can't even... Oh, yeah. Train yourself. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I challenge you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus that don't fail like David. David failed. You won't fail. Amen. It is a child you have trained that will speak with the enemies in the gate. Psalm 127 verse 5. Blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them. He will not be ashamed that they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Train them so they can speak with the enemies, silence the enemies at the gate. I challenge you to come alive in your responsibilities as a father and as a mother and raise champions and high flyers. Let us raise champions. Let us raise high flyers. Be alive to your responsibilities. Be alive to your roles. Don't crush the spirit of your children. Don't crush their spirit. Allow them. Give them root for firmness, for stability. Give them wings to fly. Don't leave your children without support. Support them. Support their aspirations. Don't leave your children without correction, discipline, and rebuke. Correct them. Rebuke them when they are wrong. Don't accommodate their mess, their nonsense. If they're doing anything wrong, don't accommodate it. Call them. Ask them. In BCOS in those days, lots of things I can never forget. Eroju ole e omu omo yin ogbin koko o ngba gba le. Eroju ole e omu. Your son does not have a cocoa farm and is collecting deposit from people. Say, okay, my cocoa is so mature and is collecting money. O dem. You are not talking. You're also a thief. You are a thief. So correct. Correct her. You say things are tough. I have seen ladies who told me, my parents said, your mates are bringing money to their parents. You to go out. You to go out. You're a woman. You to go out. What are you asking her to go and do? To go and do prostitution? That's what you're asking her to go and do. You to go out. You to go out. And don't tolerate your son who has graduated from school and is sleeping in the house. Hold on, Orisha. He said, the country is hard. There is no job. Push him out. Push him out. Go and volunteer somewhere. And that's how some people have gotten jobs. Go and volunteer somewhere. I will never in a hurry forget this testimony of Jesu Tofumi. Jesu Tofumi is my nephew-in-law, lived in my house. Graduated, no job, and his brother, Timilayin. And then he listened to a message like this on Sunday morning, and I said, go and volunteer. Go and don't be sleeping and be waking up every day. Your dad is giving you money. You are eating. Yeah, go out! So he took that message, both of them. It just told me, went out to meet one brother in church, Brother Oiz, and said, I want to volunteer. That one has a computer software firm. And web designing and what have you. He said, I will not pay. He said, no, I'm not. I want to volunteer. So he followed him. Or he used to instruct the students of Dominican University and some other places, setting up for them and what have you. So he followed him. And the first day they went out, the brother asked him, do you know about cloud computing? He said, I don't know. What is cloud computing? So he explained to him, this is cloud computing. He said, okay, so he got back home, went online to search for cloud. What does it mean? So he saw cloud computing and the diagram and what have you. So a month after, he was invited for an interview. Very small boy. As he entered the room, the head of the panel of interviewers said, is this boy's mother here? Because he just looked like a friend boy from secondary school. Is his mother here? What is he looking for? He smiled. He said, no, sir, I'm here for the interview. The man, you are here for interview? Have you finished secondary school? He said, yes, sir. I have finished university, sir. I have done youth service. Sit down. So he sat down. So the man just gave him a question. He said, boy, your question. With the aid of diagram, explain cloud computing. He said, when he had that, the first thing he said, Daddy, thank you. Brother Wiz, thank you. And he explained with diagram. You know, the brother told him, he didn't know anything about it before. He wrote it. Sometimes it is not the money that they will pay you. It's not as important as the information you will get. All of we want is money. One by six shop, one GOO. Stealing money. So the man saw the answer. The man was like, wow. You know, boy, I am not going to give you this job. I'm going to give you another one. Brought his card, wrote his number, gave it to me. He said, call me so time today. So he called the man, said, see me. He saw the man and he gave him. It was salesman's job. No, he gave him another job. And that job has opened doors for him. I slept two nights in his house in Manchester. Beautiful house himself and his wife just bought. I did recording of the 30 days of grace, where you saw pray, pray, grind, succeed. That was his study. Do it pretty well, hence wonderfully well, because he refused to be lazy. He took instruction. He did something about his life. Again, I'm telling you, parent, you have a boy who has graduated from the university that is sleeping at home every day. Olohun Odisha, Lebota! Oko Besi, Bobo Lelawe. You go and live abroad and you will understand what I'm saying. Boy, your house rent. My bed don't be here. What's on hold here? White honey. Go out. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Bow down your head. Father, help me not to fail you. As a father, as a parent, help me, oh God.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeleju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeleju in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Juwe Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.